Welcome back to the Plotopsy Podcast, here at Misanthropy Movie Blog. With each episode of the Plotopsy, I take apart a movie that is generally accepted to be a failure, and try to determine just what circumstances and actions led to its demise. Given the recent success of the Ryan Reynolds-led Deadpool film, as well as the true kickoff of the DC Cinematic Universe with Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice, I have decided that it is high time to take a look at the blackest night for modern comic book movies, 2011's Green Lantern. Green Lantern was directed by Martin Campbell, whose credits include both of the Antonio Banderas Zorro adaptations, as well as two notable James Bond films, Casino Royale and Goldeneye. The screenplay for Green Lantern went through a number of iterations over the years, but the final writing credits were given to Michael Goldenberg of Contact, Mark Guggenheim of Percy Jackson's Sea of Monsters, Michael Green of Heroes and Smallville, and Greg Berlanti of Arrow, The Flash, and Supergirl. Interestingly, Greg Berlanti originally signed on to direct Green Lantern as well, but stepped down to instead direct This Is Where I Leave You, and left the directing duties to Campbell. Green Lantern was edited by Stuart Baird, a proficient and long-tenured cutter whose credits include Tommy, The Omen, Superman, Lethal Weapon, Die Hard 2, and Skyfall, among many others. The cinematographer for the movie was Dion Beeb, a well-regarded director of photography who is best known for movies like Collateral, Memoirs of a Geisha, Chicago, and Edge of Tomorrow. The score for Green Lantern was provided by James Newton Howard, an 8-time Academy Award nominee who has worked on films such as Nightcrawler, Michael Clayton, The Dark Knight, Lady in the Water, The Hunger Games, Falling Down, The Sixth Sense, Collateral, Waterworld, King Ralph, and Flatliners, among many others. The cast of Green Lantern is led by Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, who would later get married in 2012. The accessory cast is rounded out by such notables as Jeffrey Rush of The King's Speech, Michael Clark Duncan of Daredevil, Mark Strong of Kingsman: The Secret Service, Tim Robbins of Jacob's Ladder, Angela Bassett of Malcolm X, and Peter Sarsgaard of Black Mass. There was a long history of trying to get a Green Lantern movie made prior to the culmination of this 2011 product. Kevin Smith was apparently approached to write a treatment in the late 1990s, and one of the film's producers, and DC's chief creative officer, Jeff Johns, was working on pitching the idea to studios as early as 2000. Given the high profile of the film, the central roles went through a significant casting process. Some other actors considered for the lead included Sam Worthington, Bradley Cooper, Chris Pine, and Jared Leto. Many fans passionately campaigned on behalf of cult favorite star Nathan Fillion, who endeared himself to Green Lantern loyalists through a number of voice acting gigs as Hal Jordan. Likewise, the role of Sinestro could have easily gone to any of Hugo Weaving, Jackie Earle Haley, or Jeffrey Rush, the last of whom stuck around with the project in a tertiary role after Mark Strong was ultimately cast. Zack Snyder was apparently approached at some point to direct the film, but decided to hold to his commitment on Watchmen instead. Of course, he would eventually become entwined with DC and Warner Brothers to create Man of Steel and Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. In the IMDb trivia section for Green Lantern, there is a quote attributed to an anonymous insider, which indicates that the film faced significant interference from Warner Brothers. Green Lantern is not Martin Campbell's cut of the film, but the studio's. I read the shooting script, all of which was painstakingly filmed with intense research, and all of that was left on the cutting room floor. The training with the ring is almost completely excised except for one minor scene. Most appallingly, the ending completely deletes the fact that Kilowog, Sinestro, and Tomar Ray arrive at the end and help Hal defeat Parallax, Not to mention Parallax was supposed to be a third act reveal after we spend the film worried about Hammond going evil, not the main villain for the entire film. Martin Campbell was apparently in agreement with the previous sentiment, and has publicly stated his displeasure with the studio's editing of the film. However, there has never been an official director's cut of the movie released. While most of the filming for Green Lantern was done in New Orleans, most of the exteriors and identifiable landmarks were taken from San Diego. The DC Comics setting for the events is the fictional Coast City, which is located on the western coast of the United States. The film was originally supposed to kick off a Justice League series of films. Some early iterations of the script even included a Clark Kent cameo, which hints at a future film. However, after the negative reaction to the movie, the idea was delayed until 2013, when Man of Steel was designated to start the DC Cinematic Universe. According to director Martin Campbell, Parallax's design in the movie was inspired by the 9/11 terrorist attacks. He specifically went on the record stating, "The images of those massive dust clouds coming down the streets from the collapsing World Trade Center are directly associated with terror." Reportedly, Ryan Reynolds and director Martin Campbell clashed repeatedly on set. Campbell has stated in interviews that his first and only choice for the lead was Bradley Cooper, and Reynolds was cast behind his back. This led to an uncomfortable experience on set for Reynolds, whose performance was harshly critiqued by Campbell. Reynolds stated in a Variety interview that the failure of this film was a huge relief, and that he dreaded doing it again. Fortunately for Reynolds, that wouldn't be an issue, as the critical response to Green Lantern was overwhelmingly negative. It currently holds an IMDb user rating of 5.6 out of 10, alongside Rotten Tomatoes scores of 26% from critics and 45% from audiences. Commercially, the movie was ultimately profitable, but failed to come anywhere near its expectations. In total, it raked in just under $220 million on a lofty budget of $200 million. On to the plotopsy of the film. Why did Green Lantern fail to successfully kickstart DC's on-screen combined universe? A number of the issues with Green Lantern boil down to problems with the underlying screenplay. For one, the lead character of Hal Jordan is written as an unlikable ego case. If not for Reynolds having an undeniable natural charm, he would be an insufferable character to get behind. To make matters worse, he doesn't really improve as a result of the events of the movie, and is basically the same person at the conclusion that he is at the outset of the story. On top of the issues with the lead, the plot in general is really hard to care about. Essentially, it is just an origin story that isn't dramatically different from the ones audiences were already accustomed to at the time. On top of that, the large cast, focus on effects, and huge amount of necessary exposition means that the screenplay doesn't spend much time actually developing the characters, at least not in a way that makes the story compelling. For instance, the relationship between Sinestro and Jordan is mostly glossed over, when it should have been a big part of the heart of the film. Perhaps the most criticized aspect of the film is the extensive use of computer-generated enhancements. Not only do countless alien creatures appear in fully CGI forms, but the Green Lantern suit itself has no practical elements, and all of the effects of the ring are digitally rendered. Worse than all of that, however, are the CGI modifications made to Strong and Sarsgaard, which are cartoonishly ridiculous. Despite being mostly accurate to the source material, Sinestro still looks like a pink elf demon when depicted in live action. I think the filmmakers were just a wee bit overconfident in the abilities of CGI on the whole, and placed a burden upon it that the technology couldn't really handle. This also contributed to the movie's budget rising significantly, which surely irked Warner Brothers and contributed to their less than generous editing treatment for the film. Speaking of which, the making of Green Lantern involved an incredible amount of behind-the-scenes tension. While this isn't something that can doom a movie on its own, it can certainly affect the on-screen product. In this case, Ryan Reynolds never quite seems comfortable with the lead role, which is likely a result of his tensions with the director. However, the larger issue when it comes to the final product of the film is the film's final edit, which was a major point of contention between the director and the studio. As mentioned earlier, a number of the director's decisions led to the budget inflating significantly, which strained his relationship with the studio. Likewise, his adamant casting desires clearly rubbed them the wrong way, given they apparently went behind his back to pick up Reynolds. When the studio takes control of the editing process, away from the director, the vision of the film is usually lost in the process. It may never come to light if the director's cut of Green Lantern was really any better than what the world got, but the movie as it exists is directly a result of the disagreements and tensions between the studio, the director, and the star, and it isn't good. The positives of Green Lantern are few and far between, but they aren't totally non-existent. However, the movie is boring above all else, and it is very difficult to honestly recommend to anyone. While a few of the performances are decent, like Mark Strong's Sinestro, they don't get enough time or attention to redeem the movie. Ultimately, the shoddy effects, unrelatable and unsympathetic characters, internal tensions behind the scenes, and paint-by-numbers origin story plot doomed Green Lantern to mediocrity. Unless someone has a curiosity about the film or is a diehard fan of the character, there isn't much to recommend here. It is, however, quite a compelling paragon of how not to make a modern superhero movie. That's all for today's episode of the Plotopsy Podcast. Be sure to check out Misanthropy Movie Blog on Facebook and at misanthropy.com.